And also, if you've got a Bible, to open to Psalm 28. And let's pray as we come to God's Word today. Dear Father, we thank you for the year that has been, and Father, we thank you for the year to come. Father, we pray that whatever has happened this year, that we continue to trust you and that we trust you as the new year begins. Father, may your living word do its work today. Father, use this word to prepare us for the year ahead. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here we are, 2 days left in 2019. And I wonder, how are you feeling as the new year approaches? Now, I'm sure there's a wide variety of emotions here this morning. Some of us will be saying, I can't wait till it's over. 2019 hasn't been a good year. I'm hoping that next year will be better. So you're looking forward, in a sense, to next year. Others of us might be a bit anxious for the new year, not quite sure what is going to happen throughout the course of 2020. Now, for me personally, I have, I guess, mixed emotions as I stand here this morning. Now, God willing, in 2 days' time, well, 3 days' time really, Wednesday, we're heading off to Jordan and for our trip there. And I must admit, I have excitement about that, but also some anxious thoughts and feelings about that as well. How is it all going to go? And you might be the same about it for a whole range of reasons, feeling anxious or feeling excited or a bit of both perhaps. Well, whatever we are feeling here this morning, the Lord wants to reassure us. If you're feeling anxious, the word for you is be assured. If you're not feeling anxious, make sure your confidence is in the Lord and not yourself. And this is the word for us today. We are forever secure as God's people. We are forever secure as God's people. Why is that? Well, Psalm 28 will tell us that this is the reason. We have this eternal security because of how the Lord, the Father, responded and responds to the prayers of his anointed one. We have eternal security because the Lord always responded and responds to the prayers of his anointed one. Now, the anointed one is the king of ancient Israel to begin with. The anointed one is the Messiah, the Christ, the one anointed by the Spirit to lead God's people. And the anointed one prayed for his people. And we'll see today, the anointed one prays for us today. Now, when I began preparing the sermon a few weeks ago, with thanks to God, I had enough time to do that. It wasn't just yesterday I prepared this sermon. I read Psalm 28, it was I'd organised that, and I thought, gee, I wish there was a sermon with a passage with a bit more punch as we ended one year and began the next. Well, in some ways I felt the Lord punched me a bit, because Psalm 28, as I trust we'll see, is an amazing psalm. It is just what we need to hear as one year ends and the new year begins. It's what I need to hear. It's what we all need to hear, that we have this eternal security because of how the Lord responded and how he responds to the prayers of his anointed one. So for me this week, as I prepared this more, and I felt a deepening of my security based on what this psalm has said. And I thank God for that. And I pray that it'll be the same for us this morning. So here we go. We go through the psalm. The first of all, the anointed one's prayers. And it says, the anointed one, David, says, be not silent, hear my cry for help. Verse 1 of the psalm. To you, Lord, I call. You are my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. For if you remain silent, I'll be like those who go down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift my hands towards your most holy place. Now for David, King David, the anointed one, that was the temple. David is saying, be not silent, hear my cry for help. Now, I'm sure you'd agree that if things are going okay, we don't cry out for help. But if we're in trouble, what do? We cry out, don't we? Trouble focuses our attention on those who we think can help. So, for example, a child going for a swim, they dive in the pool, hopefully a bit deeper than what that pool is. They dive in having a great time. They don't care about who's around. But they get into trouble. What do? Help! Save me! I'm drowning. Help me. Mum, Dad, whoever's there, help. That's exactly what King David is doing here. He's in trouble. Not sure why, but he's in trouble. Don't be silent. Hear my cry for help. If you don't hear me, I'm going to go down to the pit. The pit is Sheol, the place of the dead. And if you're there, you don't do anything. You're dead. David is in trouble. He's in desperate trouble here. Help! I'm drowning. Don't be deaf to me. In Psalm 27, just before this, of course, David is full of confidence. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now he's in a desperate spot. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago when we looked at Psalm 27 about the the ups and downs of the life of faith. Isn't this true, isn't it? One moment confident in the Lord, the next situations change and we're full of fear. And that's what happens, isn't it? In our life of faith. What happened with King David, and it happens with us as well. That's why we love the Psalms, isn't it? Because it reflects our lives, the ups and the downs of the life of faith. Here, David is in a desperate situation. Help! And if you may have been in trouble in the surf, you've called out for help. That's happened to me once. You call out, Austenmere on the south coast, dragged in a rip along with my cousin. We didn't hold back. Put up our hands, help, help. That is what King David is doing here. Help, don't turn a deaf ear to me. And specifically he prays this. I won't keep going with the shouting because you get the idea. Don't drag me away with the wicked. Verse 3, do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbours, but harbour malice in their hearts. Does that sound familiar? A recent psalm had the same prayer. Psalm 26, verse 9. Do not take my soul away with sinners. See, David is concerned again that he'll be dragged away with sinners when judgment comes. He's concerned again that the Lord won't distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. He's concerned about that. And a kind of a side point, but it's an important point. See, it's okay to pray the same prayers over and over. David prayed it here twice. Psalm 26, Psalm 28. When you're in trouble, is what David called, when he was in trouble, he called this out, don't drag me away with sinners. And then he prays, bring justice on the wicked. To bring justice is kind of a summary prayer of what he's praying. Don't drag me away with the wicked. I'm righteous in your sight, Lord. Bring justice. Bring justice on the wicked. Verse 4, repay them for their deeds and for their evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done and bring back on them what they deserve. Because they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord and what his hands have done, he will tear them down and never build them up again. Now, this is not King David seeking personal vengeance. Here is David as the king praying for justice to be done on the enemies of God. not personal vengeance, but for justice to be done. Now, with King David's prayers here for justice, we have an anticipation of how King Jesus prayed for justice as well. See, in 1 Peter 2, the Apostle Peter picks up what Jesus did when he was on trial, when he was in a desperate situation. And when they hurled their insults at him, he, Jesus, did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He said to his father, "Bring justice here." Again, not personal vengeance, but bring justice. Bring justice here. And so it's good to ask the question, did the Lord answer these prayers of his anointed? Well, for King David, we can say yes, he did. You look at in 1 and 2 Samuel and into the book of 1 Kings, David has been rescued from all his enemies. And he says in 1 Kings chapter 1, "The Lord has rescued me from every trouble." The Lord did not take him away with the wicked when judgment fell. He was rescued from all his enemies. So yes, for King David, the Lord heard and answered these prayers. And also, yes, for King Jesus. Why do we know that? Well, because the Lord raised his son from the dead. He was not swept away with the wicked in judgment. Judgment fell when Jesus died. The judgment of the world happened, but it fell on Jesus in our place. So we can be rescued from the coming judgment. And for those that refuse the offer of Jesus now, there is the judgment that will come. And we know it's going to happen because Jesus rose from the dead. That's a sign that there is life beyond death. There is a judgment day coming. That's the guarantee that there will be a judgment day and judgment will fall on the wicked. So the Lord heard and answered the prayers of his anointed. And that led to praise. So I think this psalm then is written at the end of David's life. He can look back over his life and see how the Lord answered his prayers. He praises God here. Verse 6, "Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy. And with my song, I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvations for his anointed one." There's a burst of praise there, isn't there? And you might be thinking, has Craig made a mistake with the slide here? That S is there on purpose. When you read that passage, it literally says salvations of his anointed. See, what David is doing there, he's picking up on how many times throughout his life the Lord rescued him. And, for example, in 1 Samuel 23, here's a good summary of what God did. David stayed in the wilderness strongholds and in the hills of the districts of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him. That's King Saul, who now hated David with a vengeance. But God did not give David into his hands. The Lord was the fortress of salvations for his anointed. And a bit further down in 1 Samuel 23, Saul was going along one side of the mountain and David and his men were on the other side, hurrying to get away from Saul. Now, this situation is, if you picture a mountain, it's a bit like a pincer movement from Saul's army. Saul is on two sides, so one start one side and go around this way. David's on the other side and Saul and his men are closing in about to get David. But a messenger came to Saul saying, "Come quickly. The Philistines are raiding the land." Then Saul broke off his pursuit of David and went to meet the Philistines. That is why they call this place Selah Hamalakoth, Rock of Parting. See, David, Saul was about to get David, but the Lord intervened, and Saul went away. And then David went up from there and lived in the strongholds of En-Gedi. That's how the Lord protected David throughout his life. And then that leads to David further praying. And now he prays for God's people. Look at verse 9. "Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever." Save your people, bless your inheritance, be their shepherd and carry them forever. Now, David has prayed for God's people before. Remember, this is a prayer of the king. For example, in Psalm 3, "From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people." He's asking the Lord to bless your people. In Psalm 5, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you." That's a prayer for David. Is praying, "Protect your people so they can rejoice in you." What is different about this prayer, that in the whole of the Psalms, this is the first one where there is a forever prayer. That's the difference. There is a forever prayer. "Save your people, bless your inheritance, be their shepherd and carry them forever." It picks up from Psalm 23. What's the last line in Psalm 23? "Surely goodness and love," let's say it together if you know it, "surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here David is praying, "Shepherd your people forever. Protect them, lead them forever. Carry them forever. Discipline them, rebuke them. Carry them forever." That's the difference here. And what it does, David's prayer here anticipates what King Jesus now does for us. In Hebrews 7, verse 24, "Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood, that permanent link with God for us. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him." Why? "Because he always lives to intercede for them." See, right now, King Jesus, the anointed one, raised from the dead, is praying for you. Right now, King Jesus is forever interceding for me. What's he praying? He's praying to his Father, "Keep your people safe. Bless them forever. Shepherd them forever. Carry them forever." The Lord heard the former prayers of the Anointed One, and he'll keep hearing these prayers as well. Now, I've shared this illustration before, but it hopefully makes the same point. You know that there's ads on TV about those superannuation funds? From little things, big things grow. But there's always a rider at the end, isn't there? Past performance does not guarantee future performance. Not so with God. Past performance of God does guarantee future performance, if you can put it like that. He's acted in the past. He's the same God. So he will do it again in the future. The Father will always hear the prayer of his anointed one. Jesus is praying for us now. Shepherd us, lead us, rebuke us, discipline us, like a shepherd does. Bless them, carry them. Not for 5 minutes, not for 10, not just into the new year, shepherd them, carry them forever. And that's why we are eternally, that's one reason why we are eternally secure. It's what Psalm 28 is emphasizing for us today. We are forever secure as God's people. And why is that? Because the Lord responded and responds to the prayer of his anointed one. The Father will never reject that prayer of the anointed one. And so, as we think about the new year, if you're feeling anxious, the Lord says, there's no need. I'm carrying you. We won't be afraid. We are being carried. As I mentioned before, God willing, on Wednesday morning, 8 of us head off to Jordan. Mixture of being excited and anxious. As I ponder this, those fears go away. Why? Because the Lord will carry the team. The Lord is carrying the team. Now, God willing, we'll come back. That's the plan. On the 24th of Jan. But we may not. But don't be afraid. The Lord will carry you who are left. Now, we are planning to come back. But you never know, do you? We've organised our wills just in case and things like that. And the Lord will keep carrying us, whatever the situation. You go back to work, whenever that might be, and the boss says, sorry, your position is no longer here. What do we do? Fear could be initial natural response, but we won't be afraid. Why? Because we will be carried. If you're the doctor and you find out you have a serious illness, we won't be afraid. Why? Because we will be carried. We are being carried. You might be facing a big decision in the future. For the future, don't be afraid. You will be carried. Whatever is thrown at us, we won't be afraid. Why? Because we are being carried forever. On Christmas Eve this year, I went to Denham Court Anglican Church, just up the road here. I went to their 11 p.m. service. And it was an encouraging time. And what I was most encouraged by was there was a young family there, and one of their, I think they had one child, and of course, 11 o'clock, normally kids are asleep, and this child was asleep. And seeing the child nursed in his mother's arms, being carried, it was a beautiful picture. And it's a great picture of security, isn't it? Being carried in the arms of your mother or your father or a loved one. You sort of feel the warmth in that. And I love those pictures where sometimes you see the same picture over many years, like a father and a daughter, say, for example, when they're 2 and when they're 10 and 16 and sort of, in the end, the mother or the father's carrying the child this big. But it's the idea of carrying, in a sense, your children forever. And that's the picture that the Lord wants us to have this morning. The Lord is carrying us individually and collectively. You may have seen that poster or poem called Footprints, where there's a picture of 2 sets of footprints on a beach, becomes 1 and then becomes 2 again. And the person says, it's a picture of somebody walking with the Lord on the beach. And the person says something like, why, Lord, at one point was there only 1 set of footprints? Did you leave me? And God says, no. That's when I carried you. Now, as I pondered this passage, I thought, that poem has good intentions, but it's completely wrong. Completely wrong. Why? Because there is only ever 1 set of footprints. We are never walking or alone. The Lord always has us in his arms. He is always, we are always being carried. That's why we can be secure and know his assurance as we head into the future. We are safe and secure. Why? It's not because of our ability. We never look to ourselves for strength and assurance. Others will say to you, you can do it, you've got the power within. That is wrong in God's eyes. We never have the power ourselves. Strength and power only come from outside of us. And isn't that a great relief? We always look away. We look to our shepherd who is carrying us. So whatever happens, we won't be afraid. Why? We are being carried. We won't be afraid. Why? We are being carried all the way on and into eternity. We won't be afraid. We are being carried forever. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the assurance that you bring. Father, we thank you that we need not be afraid because we are being carried by you, our shepherd, forever. We thank you. And so, Father, when we face different circumstances, when we face difficulties, we face big issues, enable us to remember that we won't be afraid because we are being carried by you forever. We are safe and secure forever. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.